www.ccfcity.com.
Well, thanks, Dave. Thanks for leading us in that time. We're in Family Unplugged today. We're in a family series here at Portico. We've got lots of visitors because of the child dedication, which is great, but we're in a family series that we've been focusing in on for a while now. And this morning, our theme is Family Unplugged. We've been looking at different godly ideals that we find in Scripture, some of them that are directed towards our family specifically, but some just concepts or principles that God has in Scripture that will really help our families or help make them better if we pursue Him and try to see these things take place. Regardless of what your family situation looks like, whether your family situation as a single person who has family around you but are living just in single fashion now, or whether you're a family of two through, you know, a whole busload like the Emshoffs, either way. Actually, I think they said they're done because the van is full. Isn't that right? So the van is full, no more kids. That's their rule. So anyway, regardless of what your family situation looks like, we understand that they're all a little bit different. But these principles are going to help us either way. So today we're talking about Family Unplugged. And I want you to think about or imagine what it would be like if you woke up tomorrow morning and all of the electrical outlets and switches in the world disappeared. Okay, now think about that. No alarm clock to wake you up, which on the surface would seem like a really good thing because you might get a little more sleep, but then it might be a problem when you got to work and people were like, how come you're 3 hours late? This doesn't make any sense. There'd be no light in the bathroom. Therefore, doing your hair and makeup would be a real challenge for many of you, but not for me. So, you know, there's that. There would be no toast for breakfast. No oatmeal cooked in the microwave. The milk in the fridge would be spoiled. And worst of all, there'd be no way to make your coffee. Unless, of course, you know how to cook it over the fire. And most of you would probably figure that out really quickly if there were no coffee. Right? You couldn't check the weather on your computer, catch SportsCenter highlights on TV. Even your laptop and cell phone, you know, eventually those are gonna fade. The battery's gonna die, etc. So social media, as we know it, would disappear, and that's when the real panic would set in. Right? Fear would grip us. How will I ever tell people about the amazing meal I just ate without tweeting about it? How can I let people see a picture of this really cool sunset without Snapchat? How can I rant about the guy who just cut me off in traffic or tell people what I think of Donald Trump's hair if I can't post it on Facebook? How am I ever going to tell? You know, never mind the fact that you're not supposed to be like texting and driving and things like that if you're stuck on that traffic one. Right? We'd be paralyzed by this one overwhelming thought. We may never be able to connect with people ever again. All because our media was good. Now, we live in such a society where we're so incredibly plugged in, right? We're just wired. In fact, it's really hard, even though it's all, much of this is developed within our lifetime, it's really hard to remember life before all those things existed. Now, this is not going to be a message this morning that rails against, like, the evils of technology or something like that. So if you're worried about that, that's not the point. And in fact, I'll say this right out. You know, hey, there's been advances in medicine and science help us detect and diagnose and treat all kinds of disease and illness. That's amazing. Technology has enabled us to have access to just about any information we need in a moment's notice or to communicate with anyone at just about any time. So there's a lot of good that comes from technology. This is not going to be that message that says, you know, let's go back to the old days. But one of the downsides of much of this, and especially like the social media, is that we think it keeps us better connected with people, and yet it actually often hinders deep and meaningful relationships. Okay, so studies show that despite being more connected than ever, people are also feeling more and more alone. There's also this phenomenon that some call social isolation. It's the idea that, look, we're spending more and more time or time with people around all the time, but we're not significantly engaged with them. So even though we're surrounded by people, we're lonely. We're isolated. God designed us for meaningful relationship and genuine connection, first of all with himself, right? But also with one another. And at the end of our life, when we stand before Jesus, it's going to be our relationship, our connection to him that actually means something. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 21 through 23, as he was speaking, he said, "Look, not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you.'" Now the word "knew" or "know" that Jesus uses or refers to there is more than just a head knowledge. It's not just knowing about someone or something. It refers to knowing something by experience because of a closeness or connection to that thing or to that individual. Jesus desires a deep and meaningful relationship with him. He desires for us to have that. He wants us to truly know him and to have a genuine connection. We see this, I think, really nicely and beautifully illustrated in John 15, the first part of the chapter, but just a couple of verses of that, verses 1, 4, and 5. He uses the analogy of a vine connected to branches, or branches connected to the vine, to explain what it means to abide in him. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." So God, Jesus, he wants this relationship, this genuine connection with us, first and foremost. But I also believe that this principle, this is an ideal that God has in mind for us and our families as well. I think it carries over to that realm of family. And so this morning we're looking at what we'll call a godly ideal of genuine connection. Genuine connection. That's something that we need to have in our family. It's something he desires for us to have with each other. Now specifically this morning, to help... you know, I don't want to just talk about how it's important to have a connection, but what can be some things that can help us with that connection? And so we're going to look at three different ways, very generally, how we can unplug a little bit, in family unplugged, that can help lead to more genuine connection within our family. Now, a couple things as we dive into this. First of all, I realize that this message is very much as much for me as it is for you guys. So this is not one where I'm going, "Oh yeah, just do what I do, because we got it all together. We got it all figured out. We're unplugged all the time. We're really connected." Hey, we struggle with this just like everyone else does. So, you know, this is speaking to my own heart very much as well. Second, I also realize that as we just pulled some passages from Scripture and looked at them, that they are passages that speak more about our relationship with God. That's going to be true of the passages we're heading into here. But again, I believe those principles carry over to something God wants for us within our family relationships as well. Okay? So, as we dive in, that's where we're headed, in family unplugged. Now, one of the definitions of unplugged, and it's in your notes, has to do with music performances. It is music performed with acoustic rather than electrically amplified instruments. Okay? Music performed with acoustic rather than electrically amplified instruments. Now, we got a little bit of a taste of that this morning, sort of. I mean, we weren't actually unplugged. We were still using microphones, and we were still plugging in the keyboard and the guitars and all that sort of thing, but we did things sort of in an acoustic style, right? There's something really sweet about that. It's nice to be able to dial it back sometimes and just hear our voices and hear kind of a natural instrument sound in worship, once in a while. That's just my opinion, you know, once in a while. And I say once in a while because, like, I'm a hard rock guy. I grew up in the big hair band era of glam rock in the 80s. So I love loud electric guitars and amplifiers cranked to like 11, 12 maybe even, right? The purpose of an amplifier, you know, like the one here on stage, is very simply to take something that is not naturally loud and crank up the volume to make it rock, right? Make it louder, make your ears bleed. No one's with me on this morning. Come on, man. We got to go back to that. All right, anyway, I'll move on. So we live in a world or a society, though, that is full of noise all the time, right? In fact, in many ways, it often sounds a lot like this. Lots of sound, lots of noise, all the time. If you don't believe me when I say we live in a noisy world, well, I'm sure most of you would agree that's true. But just try taking 10 minutes sometime and sit totally silent and see how hard that is to do, right? Because I get squirmy after about 45 seconds. Because we're so used to noise and commotion around us all the time. But most of us could really benefit from dialing back the intensity a little bit, especially from time to time. So one of the first ways we can unplug is this, to quiet the noise. Quiet the noise. 1 Kings 19, 9 through 13, a passage you may be familiar with. Talking about Elijah. There Elijah came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go out and stand at the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in a cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Now, things were so noisy for Elijah. He heard the noise, he heard the sound, yet it was in that quietness that he heard the voice of God. Well, sometimes we need to be dialing back the intensity or the volume a few notches in our own lives so that we can really hear God speak to us. The voice of God often gets drowned out, right? Because we aren't willing to sit still and listen. The same is often true of our family members and our relationships there. There's so much noise, so much commotion, so much activity that we maybe need to quiet things down a little bit so we can really listen and hear one another. Quiet the noise. So how will this help us? How will quieting the noise help us in our family relationships? Well, dialing back the intensity or quieting the noise will help us hear God and listen better. It will help us hear God and listen better. Now, that's not just true. It's not just the noise that is intense often in our life or in our world. The pace of life is really intense too. And that pace takes its toll on us. Again, I will give you a personal example of humility. As we've started this family series, we've had a different weekly family challenge each week. And it was really my intent, my hope, that we can give everybody an opportunity as a family to connect in a meaningful way and to implement some practices that might help us grow and become better as a family at certain activities. We've had, I don't know, we're in what, week five now? So we've had four other ones before. Our family has gotten to one, the very first one. It was my intent to do all that, but it's hard for us to find a time when we're all even sitting down together. We rarely get time to do that as a family. There's work, there's school, there's sports, there's homework, there's graduation preparation and ceremony, there's birthday parties, there's so practices, so much going on. And because of so, you know, number of individuals, we're not all in the same place at the same time, often. We're just incredibly busy. Well, one of the definitions of unplugged is to relax by disengaging from normal activities. Right? To relax by disengaging from normal activities. Now, my wife Sherry has a special word for that. She calls it sleep. As soon as normal activities are done, time to sleep. The Bible has a special word for that. It's called Sabbath. And it's about rest. It's actually commanded by God in the Old Testament. The first three commandments of the Ten Commandments are about putting God first. Right? No other gods before me. No idols. No using my name in vain. And the fourth commandment is to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Exodus 20, 8 through 11 says this. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So God commands his people to set aside one full day each week for Sabbath, for rest, where they didn't do the things they normally did. He told them to unplug, even before they had outlets and switches, right? They were to unplug. And I think the second way we can unplug is to disengage from normal activities. Okay? We can disengage from normal activities. Jesus modeled this for us. He was always engaged in a good work, right? He was busy healing people and teaching them about the kingdom of God. And as word spread about him, Luke 5, 15 to 16 says that great crowds gathered to hear him and be healed of their infirmities. So they were flocking to him. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. In other places in Scripture, it tells us that this was actually Jesus' regular practice. This was a common thing for him. He knew his need for a genuine connection with the Father. So he regularly made time to be with him without distractions. Okay? So disengage from, can we pull that slide back up again, Rob? Disengage from normal activities. And what it will help us do is to rest and to reconnect. Right? To rest and to reconnect. So the third idea of being unplugged has to do with the removing an obstacle or blockage to make a clear path. Okay, it's like unplugging or unclogging a drain or a blocked artery, right? So to unplug something. We often need to eliminate distractions in our life that prevent us from becoming what God wants us to be or accomplishing what he has in mind. So the third way we can unplug is to eliminate distractions. Eliminate distractions. There was one man who wanted to follow Jesus. And as he was talking with Jesus, he says, I'll follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And in Luke 9, 62, Jesus says to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, what he was saying is this, don't let the things of this earth distract you from following me. When you would use a plow in Jesus' day, you would have to plow in straight lines to maximize the soil, right? So your perspective, your focus is going to be out in front of you on the horizon, so you know what's coming up ahead. You're looking forward. Right? And then if you were to take your eyes off of that destination, you'd start getting off course. And it could mess up the land, and it would hinder the progress. So don't be looking back. Put your hands to the plow and keep looking. Keep focused, or you can mess things up. And his point was, there are always going to be things in our life that will distract us or block our path to meaningful connection with God. Unplugging is about eliminating those obstacles or distractions. And the reason, or again, how it will help us to eliminate distractions is that it'll help us focus on what matters. It'll help us focus on what matters. A couple of examples, and I'm not trying to pick on anyone in particular, but you know, sometimes I will see some kids walking around with like one earbud in all the time. You ever see that? Like, got their iPod, they're always music going in that one ear. They're busy doing everything that they normally would do. I can never do that. I'm way too not multitasking. But they're doing everything they normally would do, conversations, doing homework, doing whatever. They're plugged in the whole time that they're doing it. Now, they'll tell you otherwise, but they're really only half there oftentimes, right? They're only partially engaged in that moment. And the way that I can tell that that's true is we'll hear something like, no, that's not true. I can do that all the time. But then how many times later on do you ask them why they didn't accomplish something that you told them they were supposed to accomplish? And they will respond with, what are you talking about? You never told me I needed to do that. Yeah, we did, but apparently you didn't hear or you weren't listening, right? They were only partly engaged in that conversation. They were distracted. Example two. When you're in a conversation with somebody and they pull out their cell phone and start texting somebody else, right? It's hard to believe they're really engaged in the conversation with you. At least not fully, right? And this isn't just about technology. I want to be careful about that. We oftentimes, when we come home, we need to let go of what's been going on at work so we can focus in on our family life. We need to be sure our hobbies aren't replacing time we should be spending in connection with them. We may even have to let some housework slide, even though it's badly needed, because we need to have some time for meaningful connection with our spouse or our kids. Right? We have to eliminate distractions, and if we do that, it will help us focus on what matters most, relationships, the relationships that God has in store for us. Because God wants genuine connection between us and him, but also within our family relationships. So as I close up this morning, I just want to ask you, is there an area here where maybe it would be wise for you to consider unplugging a little bit more, or at least for a while? You know, do you need, when you hear these ideas, do you need to quiet the noise a little bit more so you can hear God or listen better? Is that something for you, a step that you need to take? Is it that you need to disengage from some normal activities for a while and slow the pace down so you can rest and reconnect? Or is it eliminating distractions so you can be fully engaged and focused on what matters most? So three ways I think we can unplug a little bit. We can quiet the noise, we can disengage from our normal activities, and we can begin to eliminate distractions. I would encourage you to give that some thought this weekend or this week. And just look at your life. Examine your life. Are there some things, some steps that you can take that will help make your family life better? Some ideals of godly connection or genuine connection that God wants us to have. Let me encourage you to take a step in that direction this week. There's a little help in regards to that in our family challenge. Again, I encourage you to check that out and give it a shot. We'll continue to try to do that. And as I mentioned last week, if you are falling behind like we are, don't give up. Don't just pitch it away. Look for a time down the road where you can create some time and carve some time out to do them, because they really will help. So let's try to unplug a little bit, for a little bit of time this week, and see if we don't start connecting more genuinely with the people in our family. Let's stand together, and we're going to close in prayer. God, we acknowledge that we live in a world, a society, in a life where things are loud, things are moving quickly and fast-paced, and there are many things that can distract us, first of all, from you. And Lord, you call us to set those things aside. You desire for us to be focused on you and engaged with you and having a genuine connection with you. And often we need to take these steps of quieting noise and eliminating distractions and disengaging from our normal activities just so that we can find time to be with you. We ask for you to help us to do that because it's hard to do oftentimes. But you want a relationship with us, and we want that connection genuinely with you. Father, we also pray that you would help us to do this within our families. Lord, we know that at times that's easier than others. Every week is different. Every day is different. Every season is different. Every family is different. But give us wisdom to know when we need to pull things back a little bit, whether it's just time to quiet down, whether it's time to slow down, or whether it's time to eliminate some distractions from us being able to focus in on what matters most, and that's the relationships that you have put into our life within our family. God, give us strength to consider these things and to take steps in the right direction. Help us to see where the need is. Give us wisdom in that. And Lord, we pray that you bless our efforts to focus in on what it means to hear you and to listen better, to rest and reconnect and focus in on what matters most. We trust you with this. We ask for your strength. We ask for your wisdom. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.